are listening to Thoughts with Duvall. Please note that the views and opinions offered by Duvall are not those of the Pop Culture Network or its affiliates. And now your host, Duvall.
All right, gang. Welcome back to another episode of Thoughts with Duvall.
I am your host, as always.
The irreplaceable, I was going to say irrepressible for some reason, but I don't know why. That word was just stuck in my head. But anyways, I'm your host, Duvall. You know, you guys have been leaving a lot of cool stuff on the Pop Culture Network's message boards, in the Thoughts with Duvall episode threads, and I do have to say that you guys have given me a lot to think about. As of this one, which was left to me by JJB1011JJB. I love it. He wanted to know if I could do a rant on the Hot Wheels scalpers. Well, I could. We don't have enough time for that. I will tell you a few stories that, okay, most Hot Wheel collectors are decent people. They're okay guys. My physician, my doctor, is actually a huge Hot Wheels collector and is a great, great human being. And then, okay, let me set this up again. We in the toy world have our scalpers and our idiots. Okay, nothing we have in the toy world or in the comic book world or in the movie world or any of that can measure up to the idiots that are just redonkulously insane about Hot Wheels. And I'm not talking like, oh, I gotta get the new Hot Wheel. It's like crack. No, I'm talking about the guys that will literally go into a store and will search every peg, grumbling and mumbling to themselves. These guys look like they haven't bathed in 5 days. These guys are at the stores at 7 a.m. waiting to get in. Okay, these are the guys that hustle through every peg. Look. They don't find what they're looking for. They go find an employee and literally verbally berate them and talk about how awful of a human being they are and how they keep all the best stuff for themselves and how, you know, we're a bunch of jerks and blah, blah, blah. And then they start throwing things. And if that's not enough, then they go over to the Hot Wheel aisle. They go back to the Hot Wheel aisle and they start ripping every Hot Wheel car they can find that actually is worth something they don't want. They will rip the cards on them. I'm not talking a little bit. I'm talking they rip the cards on them. Or in the case of something like, you know, the mystery cars, the mystery hunts they had out there, you know, the cars that came in, they were covered by the black plastic. These guys would open every one of those and just leave them laying there because they didn't want other people to buy them. Even if they were something, they just open them. Guys, when I worked at Toys R Us, we kicked so many Hot Wheel collectors out. And I know I've said in my past before that it's not something we can enforce. These people we enforced. They couldn't come back in the store because these are the people that we literally had embedded in our minds. And if they walked in the door in the morning, and usually it was just the same people there in the mornings, dude, they wouldn't get any farther than the entry. We'd be standing there going, nuh-uh, you got to leave. Dude, you got to go because we're not dealing with your crap. Because these guys, they're ridiculous. They are the worst human beings possible. These are the guys who buy massive amounts of the same car, the same rare car, take them to mall shows across the nation, mark them up to $100, and then bitch when people pick them up and look at them and don't buy them. I want to punch them, personally. I've come close several times. Okay, that's my Hot Wheels rant. I'm not going to lie, it's short, because we don't have enough time for a whole Hot Wheels rant. Maybe if this show was called Death to All Crazy Hot Wheel Collectors, we could do a whole show about it, but I want to move on to Marsh Hall Man, left me a question, wanting to know why is it that Star Wars has like 40 different Darth Vader figures? Don't you need like one, maybe two? Why does Star Wars make so many of the same characters? He says, I know that they sell, maybe that's the answer, but why? Most all characters in Star Wars have a figure, if not multiple figures. I don't know. Maybe it just comes down to money. I don't think it's necessarily comes down to money. You know, Darth Vader was a popular villain. Boba Fett's a popular villain. So they'll make multiple figures of those. Every toy line does it. I mean, I'm looking right now at my five-level display case I have here that houses my Marvel Legends and DC Universe. And I tell you what, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different, 15 different, 16 different Iron Man figures that I can see right there. And they're all different versions of the figure. That's understandable, because Iron Man has had so many different armors that they literally made a version of every armor. But when you have something like Darth Vader and Boba Fett that, well, let's face it, it was the same outfit. I'll be honest with you. You answered your own question. It comes down to money. Hasbro knows that kids want the iconic characters. They want Luke, they want Han, they want Chewie, they want Leia, they want Darth Vader, they want Boba Fett, they want, you know, they want Palpatine, they want the villains, they want those iconic characters. And those characters are not in every way. So Hasbro and most toy companies see it necessary to include those very popular characters into subsequent waves. So let's say, you know, all the core characters were in wave one, but, you know, wave four or five down the road, they decide they're going to do another Luke and another Han and another Vader. Unfortunately, it's the way the toy company rolls. I mean, if you included iconic characters in every wave, let's face it, let's look at it this way. If Mattie and Mattel were doing a He-Man and Skeletor in every wave of Master Universe Classics that came out online, we'd have a debacle of the 2002 Masters Universe line. I mean, it's Hasbro has done it smart. I understand your question. I understand why it bothers you. Hasbro has done one of the smartest things any toy company has done. They don't do iconic characters every wave. It's just like before Jack stopped doing WWE figures, they literally did not put a Chris, you know, they didn't put a John Cena or, you know, a lot of the popular characters in the line. They would spread them out. You would have a John Cena maybe one every four or five lines down the road. You'd have a new John Cena figure. And that was always the one that kids were looking for. So that was always the one that sold the best. You know, unfortunately, it's just the way the toy company's going. I mean, that's just how they do things. I really can't say more on the subject than that. It's Hasbro was really smart with Star Wars. They were really smart with G.I. Joe. You know, I do want to touch on one thing. I did make a toy boo-boo last week, and everyone pointed it out. And you know what? You guys are great by pointing it out. I don't mind. If I screw up, by all means, point it out. I'll own up to it. I got no problem with it. But I did call the Collect and Connect figure out of wave, oh, God, what is it, guys, 12? I believe it's wave 12. I don't have them in front of me, so I'm just guessing off the top of my head. My head is jumbled with too many waves of DC Universe figures. So I did manage to call Darkseid Apocalypse. I do apologize. Part of the reason is I was thinking Darkseid, his war world is called Apocalypse with a K, and that's kind of where I just sputtered that out there. But I want to thank the guys for catching that and bringing it up and saying, hey, Duvall, you screwed it up. You're right. I did. God, my good buddy Chris Vint. Vento Man. You know, I gotta give a proper shout out to Chris Vint. He's actually hooking me up, getting me hooked up with a Wundar. Because your old buddy Duvall here, as I've said before, screwed up his master subscription when he was at San Diego Comic-Con last year. And now Pixel Dan will say that's not true. The subscriptions didn't go on sale until after San Diego Comic-Con. We've had this argument before. Well, it's not so much an argument. It's a disagreement. They did, because I remember sitting on the bed in the hotel looking, going, oh, they charge you already for the figure. I'm not going to pay this right now. And then I didn't pay it. So, because they announced it at their panel, they announced that the subscription was going to go on sale the next day. So, yeah. But Chris Vint's hooking me up. Chris, leave me a message. I've emailed you a few times my address. I want to make sure you got it, because I keep emailing you, and I don't think you're getting my emails. So I'm a little worried about that. But Vinto Man asks, what are my thoughts on the price guides that used to be in Toy Fair? You know, Toy Fair still kind of has a price guide. Lee's and Tomart still does a tiny price guide. In the 90s and in the early and late 90s, the toy guides were huge because eBay wasn't as big as it was. It was still there. It just wasn't as big. You know, and we discussed this on the It Figures podcast last week. when we had our grading discussion. But Killen and I is one of the few things that Killen and I will actually agree with on when it comes to the world of toys is the fact that if you want to look at a toy guide, look at eBay. That's your toy guide. eBay is literally the same thing that the toy guides were. The toy guides were set up because people around the country and around the world would go to shows and take, you know, average prices for hot figures. And they would compare those with other, and then they would come out with an overall estimated number of what these figures should be worth based on what they're going for on the second market. That's how these price guides came about. eBay became those price guides when suddenly more and more and more and more and more and more and more toy collectors started to sell on eBay, and you started to go on there as a seller and go, okay, well, this guy is selling DC Universe Classics Lobo San Diego Comic-Con exclusive for $100. This guy's got one for $40. I'm going to say roughly his estimated value is probably going to be $60. And they would price the toys in that range. So basically, that's the price guides of the old were great, but you'll never see them again. It won't happen. If you notice, if you look at Lee's and Tomart's, they have more gone to Hot Wheel collector price guides than action figure price guides, because eBay has become the action figure price guide. eBay for Hot Wheels, I couldn't really say that. You know, there are a lot of Hot Wheels on eBay, but that's not really where the industry has gone in that direction, unfortunately. Or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it. Ah, parching my thirst. Eat an ice cube. Good stuff. Oh, let's see. What else do we have here I can talk about? Our good buddy King Kong told me I need to save my energy of a rant for the day after the 15th when Maddie goes crazy with sellouts this month. Well, yes, I could see that. Ooh, Golden Vixie asks, couldn't get it out there. Two questions, actually. I'm going to cover these in pretty big detail, just because I think they need to be talked about. I want to know why companies like Mattel and Hasbro don't use pre-orders for their figures, and would pre-ordering help the Master Universe Classics line and figures like Transformers, Arnim, and RC? Okay, and Mattel, their subscription service for the Master Universe Classics is pretty much their pre-order. That's it. I mean, that's pretty much it. That is as close as you'll ever get to pre-orders on Maddie.com. Because a website business like that, let's look at the past. What was it? Oh my God, cheapnewtoys.com, I think is what it was. I don't think they're around anymore. But when they brought out the Muppets Sweetums on the Muppets figures from Palisades, when Sweetums was offered through them, I think it was like $50, and it was like $25 to pre-order it. You know, you pay the other $25 when it came out. I don't know how well that did for them, because they went out of business shortly after that, I'm pretty sure. And to be honest, about a couple years ago at San Diego Comic Con, I found a Sweetums for $10 still in the box. And not just one, a bunch of them. So, pre-ordering, unless it's a video game or a movie, is really a shaky, shaky ground. Because you could get fans that say, yeah, I pre-ordered that, but they'd offer the pre-orders, and people would go, well, I don't know. And you got to think, with something like MattyCollector.com, they probably need some kind of monetary value up front like they do with the subscription services. It gets to be a big ordeal and a big debacle. Do I think that it would help with the casual fans who just want certain figures and don't want to get the subscription? Yes. Do I think Mattel will ever do it? No. Mattel won't ever do it. Mattel won't ever do it for the same reason why they won't ever get rid of Digital River. They are making money hand over fist and see no reason to change their ways and do things differently at this point. So it's not going to change. His other question actually hits right up my other alley, which is animated shows. Wants to know what my thoughts on unfinished DVD releases for TV shows, and he gives examples of Disney Gargoyles or Cartoon Network's Transformers animated series. I honestly don't know why Cartoon Network and Warner Brothers never finished releasing the Transformers animated series. You would think they would. As for Disney, I don't know what Disney's problem is, man. They released like two Gargoyle sets. They didn't do the rest of the seasons. They've released most of the DuckTales series. You know, They released one box set of gummy bears, one box set of Darkwing Duck, you know, one box set for Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. I don't know. Disney, I don't know why they wouldn't. Either they didn't sell well enough for them to actually think about doing the second set, which a lot of times is the case, because Disney, I'll be honest with you, they didn't advertise a lot of those shows were coming out. They just released them. And if you think about it, you know, a lot of the fan base, you know, like with Shout Factors, G.I. Joe, and Transformers, they did the right thing by releasing the big box sets of the complete series, because they knew a lot of fans wanted that. And then they released the single episodes they had been through retail or, you know, outlets like Walmart, Target, Best Buy. So they'll eventually, people who don't want to buy the box set and just want to pick up certain seasons will finish the season. Or you had like Time Life doing Ghostbusters the Animated and releasing the big box set all at once. And now I've seen Volume 2 come out. But the only way to get them all in their awesome metallic packaging was to buy them through Time Life. So, dude, there's so much that's never been finished on DVD. Hell, I still have Season 1 of Malcolm in the Middle. How many seasons did that show go? Like 7 or 8, at least. Dude, they've only ever released Season 1 on DVD. And that was almost 8 years ago when that DVD came out. It is ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you this. I own, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I own My Little Pony Season 1 on DVD. Okay? That was the only season that ever came out from that, and that was almost 6 years ago that they released that season. They've never done anything else for that show. And it's a shame, because I'm a big fan of any animated show, just like I animate any toy line. I love animated stuff. I just picked up Garbage Pail Kids, the animated complete animated series on DVD. I picked up Volume 1 of Defenders of the Earth. I picked up the complete series of Highlander, the animated series. So if it's animated and it you know, it was in the 80s, early 90s, I'm going to buy it. And I'm a big fan. So I'm ashamed that Disney has never finished these sets. You know, it's just really, really sad. You know, my buddy Jane wants, you know, Jane, I'm going to tell you, you're asking this question, asked me to do a rant on the so-called return policy on games. He goes, I know it's a copyright law, but still, Jane, there's no rant for me to give. I worked in retail 13 and a half years. I fully, fully, fully agree with the return policy that some of these stores have on games, CDs, and DVDs because of why they're doing it. You know, I guess it depends on why you want to return something. If you're buying a game, you take it home, you play it, you don't like it, and you realize you can't return it because you opened it, dude, there's rental stores for that. There's Gamefly. Movies are the same way, you know. CDs, you can go online to Amazon.com and even on the radio nowadays and hear the first few tracks of a CD. Or you can go to iTunes and you can buy the first couple tracks from a CD if that's all you want. There's no reason for a rant for the return policy for that, because it's there for a reason. It's not like a lot of the things I rant about that seem like, you know, they may seem like they have a reason to the bigwigs, but they really don't seem like they have a reason to us. To me, 13 and a half years in retail, I've had to enforce some ridiculous, crazy policies, but I always, always was very happy to basically tell someone, bring me in a PC game that they had opened. You can't return that. I'm sorry. Or a DS game. I'm sorry. I can't take that back. I can exchange it for the same exact thing. I can't give you any money back. I mean, that's just how it is. You know, one last thing here before I go. Chris Vint asked me about what I think of the international fans needing to find someone reliable with San Diego Comic-Con exclusives and not pay eBay prices. If it's Mattel stuff, I don't know what to tell you, Vint. I really don't, because Mattel... Here's the difference. Mattel and Hasbro. Hasbro always has their stuff up on Hasbro.com the day after San Diego Comic-Con on Monday. Always. Everything they have at the convention is on Hasbro.com. That doesn't always last. A lot of it sells out pretty quick. But they make so much more to put on Hasbro.com. Well, you could still go on there today and find stuff from last year's San Diego Comic-Con on Hasbro.com. Mattel will never make more than what they need to make. Even though they know they could sell out and make money hand over fist, they will not increase production numbers on any kind of exclusives just because they don't have to. I don't know what else to say about that. It's just, you know, we saw it last year. You know, they only had, we won't even get into Gleekgate last year with Mattel giving Foosh a ton of Gleeks, that was ridiculous. Because no other site got that kind of benefit. No other site got that kind of attention. No other site would have ever been given a whole bunch of those Gleeks. And even though Mattel said, oh, well, we found, you know, a box of them after, you know, at the end of the convention that were buried. Dude, you should keep track of all those. You are a major toy retailer company. If you can't keep track of the amount of boxes and how many boxes you have for a convention and one of them gets lost and suddenly you're like, hey, I'm going to give it to this this messenger website. It's cool. I don't have anything against Foosh. I want to put that out there before the Foosh guys hear this and start going, yeah, yeah. I ain't got nothing against Foosh. It wasn't their fault. They were in the right place at the right time and Hasbro offered it, or Mattel offered it up to them. Mattel was in the wrong to do it because that pissed off so many fans. It's not even funny. We'll get into that another day because there are tons of stories I could tell you about San Diego Comic-Con from last year. And you saw a lot of them online with the art book for Masters Universe, Gleekgate, but I can tell you a lot of the stuff that happened personally while I was there that just would blow your mind. And I plan on getting into that one of these days, probably closer to as we get to San Diego Comic-Con this year. But Chris wants to know if the PCN crew are helping anyone this year. I'll be honest with you guys, I don't know. I'm the only one out of the group who has gone multiple years covering for a different site. I've tried to tell them what it's like. I will not stand in those lines, and I'll be honest with you, as a website and as press, we do get certain special privileges. No offense to you guys, anyone's gone to San Diego Comic-Con knows you could walk into that convention floor at 10 a.m. when they open the doors, and the damn line for Mattel's cut off. It's already cut off. Because all the dealers and stuff have let their buddies in, and they're all in line. I will never stand in that line. I stood in the Hasbro line on Sunday because it took me a whole whopping 2 minutes because nobody was there and they still had everything they wanted. The Mattel line, not that I don't love you guys. I say and say and say you guys are the most loyal fans in the world, and not that I don't want to help you. I honestly, we have so much to do come San Diego Comic-Con that none of us can literally waste a half a day standing in that line or trying to get into that line. It is that ridiculous. It is the most dumb thing I have ever seen in my life. Or the way Mattel controls their lines. This year they had a store outside their booth. Last year, the damn thing was in their booth. Let me tell you what. You want to talk about trying to get Grayskull? Was a nightmare. Like, to the point where I wanted to start killing comic book nerds with my bare hands at Comic-Con. Repeatedly. They're dead. I'm going to kill them again. So there you go, guys. My show for the week. You know, this weekend, the crew is actually going to be in Chicago, in downtown Chicago, for C2E2, the first comic book convention in Chicago run by the guys who do the New York Comic-Con, which is pretty big, which is actually the second largest convention next to San Diego Comic-Con. So hopefully C2E2 gets a good turnout. The sad thing is it seems the Anaheim Wizard World is going on at the same time, and it seems Wizard's been throwing some money around because they've got a lot of big names signed up for the Anaheim Comic-Con, it seems. But no offense to you guys at Wizard, you guys do a piss-poor job putting on a convention, because let me tell you what, this last Chicago Comic-Con that we went to was awful. It was like Celebrity Signature-a-Con for $40 or $70. That's not a Comic-Con to me. Dude, I can go to San Diego Comic-Con and get autographs from major stars for free. For free. That's how it rolls. For free. But we're all going to be in C2E2 in Chicago this weekend. I'm pretty pumped. You know, it's the first convention. It's the first big convention of the year. It's not a press event like Toy Fair where it's kind of dull, kind of boring. We see cool stuff. We can't really look around and buy anything. So this comic book convention is going to be a big deal. It's the first time all of us have gone together. We'll all be staying, you know, myself, Scotty Cash, Pixel Dan, Killen, Dirt, and even Flava Dave, who's been new, who's been on the podcast quite a bit lately. He's a good friend of ours. We'll all be going. We'll all be representing. If you guys are in the Chicago area and you want to come meet up with the Pop Culture Network staff, we won't be hard to miss. I think all of us are going to be wearing these awesome new Pop Culture Network shirts that we've got, which I believe are going to be going up on sale soon at the Pop Culture Network store. If I'm wrong on that, I'm sure Killen will punch me in the face. It's cool. he's done it before. I'm all right with it. It heals pretty quick. But so if you guys are in the Chicago area, you're attending C2E2, come find us. Like we said on last week's podcast, Flavor Dave will give you a hug. He likes giving hugs. Meh. You know, we'll sign autographs, be glad to chat, you know, just have some fun. So that's it for me, gang. Make sure, you know, you're checking out popculturenetwork.com for all the latest news and shows, from the It Figures podcast to Life in Plastic to that new toy smell to Killen's awesome DVD reviews to the awesome, awesome shows, you know, Not Mitten Box, you know, Masters Universe Chronicles. We have so many shows. Just go check it out. You'll enjoy it. If you haven't signed up on our message boards, make sure you go to www.popculturenetwork.com. Click on the forums button. It's all free. Sign up. Join the cast of amazing people that make up our community. And as always, guys, I'll post a new thread on there for Thoughts with the Ball, Episode 4. Make sure you leave me your thoughts, your comments, your concerns. Leave me some more show ideas, because you guys are great. You guys are bringing up a lot of stuff that I don't get time to think about, because my day job, kind of hard. Takes up a lot of my thinking time. So, but until next time, gang, I'm Duvall, and we'll see you back here next week. Peace out.